Hi, Believers Church. Welcome to tonight's Wednesday Rewind, where we review and discuss the message from last Sunday. When we were last together, we spent some time in Judges 3, so we're going to be there in a second. But before we get there, if you've been following the news at all lately, you know that Russia has been amassing troops at the Ukrainian border for some time now. While Russia continues denying that there's not going to be any provocation of war, the Ukrainian government has been preparing for the worst possible outcome, a Russian invasion. Well, I recently heard a report describing the mood of the general Ukrainian population over the holidays. In the report, a local newspaper was described. And in that newspaper, one page had a directory for local bomb shelter locations. And on the next page, there was a list of next weekend's holiday events. Well, it seems that many of the average people would rather ignore the possibility of threatening times ahead. And we can't really blame them. I think we would all prefer to have an experience, well, a holiday diversion than a plan for a pending attack. But in Christianity, we've got to acknowledge that warfare is not a potential reality. It's actually a way of life. Now, our text from last Sunday was Judges chapter 3. So let's turn there and read it together. Judges chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them, that is, all who had not known the wars of Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. On Sunday, we touched on three main points, and we'll review them tonight and give you a chance to discuss together in your groups. And here's the points that we covered. Number one, we need to be taught to know war. Number two, your participation in this battle is a test of your allegiance. And number three, there's more land to be taken. So number one, we need to be taught to know war. We need to be taught to know war. Many of Jesus' words alone invoke a call to a spiritual battle. Jesus said that he came to bring division on the earth. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 39, "Do not think that I am come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus seems to be telling us that our time in this world is going to be a time of decision. It's a place where our loves and allegiances are decided, and Jesus brings a sword, a dividing line, and we must choose a side. Jesus brings division. He separates between the two competing visions of God and of this world. And these are the visions we have to pick from. And this makes us choose which side of this battle we're on. Now, I'll acknowledge this concept of war is off-putting. The difficulty, the stress, the unknowns, the possibility of injury, death, the loss of fellow soldiers. I think in some senses, it should be no less off-putting to us than real war. Isn't that the way that Jesus made it sound? I think he's trying to prepare us. Furthermore, I will acknowledge that in this war, it's especially disconcerting that it has to be fought first within ourselves. But truly, this is where the battle starts. To really engage in any battle out there, we must first engage in the battle in here. And the battle in here is sometimes more subtle and more deceptive. It's often been said that we're our own worst enemy. And I think it's appropriate that we remember, unless we take on the battles inside, we can't hope to take on the battles outside. So before we get out there and take on the real challenges for the kingdom, we have to get out of our comfortable spaces. We have to be willing to overcome ourselves. Jesus calls it denying ourselves before we can step out and embrace with willingness the difficulties of discipleship. Yes, we even need to be willing to suffer a little. If a heart-pounding, sweaty-palmed, grit-your-teeth experience is nowhere to be found in your Christian life, you may want to question whether you are truly engaged in this battle. Our second point on Sunday was this: your participation in this battle is a test of your allegiance. Your participation in this battle is a test of your allegiance. On Sunday, we discussed that God was using those nations left in the land around Israel as a means by which to test them. Judges chapter 3, starting in verse 4, "And they were left that he might test Israel by them, to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, and served the Baals and Asherahs." In Judges, God was using the nations left in the land to test Israel. These nations' practices, their gods, their very way of life was close by in tangible realities that Israel needed to deal with. Quite simply, Israel, just like us, needed to deal with the unbelieving world around them. So how did it go for them? Well, we know many of them failed the test. Their families became intertwined with the families of the land. They developed alliances, gave in marriage, and profited from the relationships. Soon, there was no distinction between God's people and everyone else. There was no division. So why did this happen? Well, I can give you a couple reasons, I think. One reason, very simple one, is that Israel procrastinated. They didn't deal with these nations when they were supposed to. They didn't take care of them the first time around. And what they ended up leaving around slowly changed from enemy into friend. I wonder if it's possible that the things that are testing us in our lives are things that we simply never did away with in the first place. Are you being tempted once again by the things you have simply procrastinated on dealing with a long time ago? Another reason, I think, was this: that the Israelites, to put it simply, discovered some benefits to not following God's plan. Yes, there were some real pluses that they discovered in disobedience. And the best part for them was they could get all these pluses by not going to war. They found out that the world around them had a lot to offer: political alliances, luxurious goods, attractive women, and of course, the promise of peace. And this is how Israel was overcome. See, the enemies could never take Israel by outright force in combat because God was with them in battle. But Israel's enemies could certainly overcome them when Israel just shook hands and made friends. I wonder, have we considered if perhaps the enemy is using the same tactics with us? In place of a full-on onslaught, maybe the enemy is defeated to a more subtle method with you, by simply offering you the things you want and enjoy. You feel there's no attack because there is no attack. There is peace. The problem is, it's just peace with the wrong party. So how about you? Are you, like Israel, finding peace with the very thing that God asks you to war against? You may make peace with the world, but you won't have peace with God if that's the case. Listen to James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Well, this brings us to our third and final point, and it's this. There's more land to be taken. See, all these battles had a point. The God's people would take more of the land. This was the land that God wanted to bless them with. This was a gift to them. This was a good land that they could call their own. He called it a land flowing with milk and honey. There were grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, olives. See, the point is, this was a really amazing place that God wanted to give his people. For us as Christians today, God has good things in store for us too. Promises for our lives, our families, our ministry endeavors. He wants to bless his children with everything he's prepared for them. He wants you and I to live in the place of blessing. Do you really want to learn to live in the land of blessing that God has prepared for you? I think many a people attempt to attain blessings for themselves by creating little versions of the promised land. See, we can create and manicure a little portion of our lives that we believe will give us blessing. A relationship God hasn't called us into. A hobby that borders on idolatry. An off-limits to God me time. Something that we protect and secure and we believe will give us some form of blessing. The problem with that is the promised land is not something we can create, and we certainly don't choose it. It's given to us by God, and we fight for it. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 11. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drink water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. God contrasts the small vegetable gardens that they created in Israel with the entire land he was calling them into. He says that they used to plant their own gardens and water them themselves. But in the promised land, God himself does the watering. So how about you? Have you been creating your own gardens of blessing in your life? These gardens often take a great amount of time, energy, and care, and they're also prone to disaster and leave us hungry for more. What you and I truly long for is not just a small garden to visit, but a fruitful land to live in. Lastly, on Sunday, We spoke briefly on the difference between entertainment and inspiration. Many of the media, movies, games that we all enjoy and find compelling are built around this war motif. And I wonder if what we're prone to do is engage in inspiring adventures only vicariously, really just leaving them to the realm of entertainment. And while the movie screen keeps us safe of any life-threatening experiences, it also keeps us from calling any victory our own. And the same can happen in our Christianity. We can read of the daring and boldness of victorious soldiers of Christ throughout Scripture and throughout history. We can marvel at their profound sacrifices and even the impact that they have for the gospel. And we can see the rewards of godly wisdom, spirit-filled peace, and closeness to God. But I wonder if what we say is inspiring is simply some form of spiritual entertainment. The difference between entertainment and inspiration is that true inspiration actually moves you. It actually compels us to do something. So, how many times have you heard the same message and said amen, or read the same favorite Bible passages, or recited a quote from a famous Christian, but it really proved to do nothing in your spiritual life? Ultimately, if we really want to experience all that God has for us, we need to stop ignoring the reality that Scripture and the Spirit are clearly telling us. We need to get our boots on, we need to suit up, and we need to get in the battle. Well, that's what we have for tonight, our recap on Judges chapter 3. Now, for those of you who are going to small groups, I wish you a good, honest discussion. Let me pray for you. Father, we pray that you would just open up our eyes and just open up our hearts and minds to each other tonight as we discuss these things about what it means to really be in the battle for you. And I pray for any one of us who have been neglecting this aspect of Christianity that you would just show us what it means to get in the battle. And also remind us of all the good things that we're missing out on, all the unfulfilled promises that we don't have because we haven't stepped out to receive them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.